I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about the efforts to make Indianapolis more walker-friendly. We will talk about sidewalks, crosswalks, and other important pieces of a pedestrian plan that is in the works. My guests are Joan Cook of Indy Walkways, Sandy Cummings of the Marion County Public Health Department, and Brad Bobian of the City's Department of Metropolitan Development. Please join the conversation. Call us at 866-476-3881. You can email us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Our Facebook is nolimitswfyi, and you can track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about the pedestrian plan for Indianapolis that is called Indy Walkways. It's an initiative to make the city more walkable, get more people walking. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You also can find us on email at nolimitswfyi.org, find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests today are Four Walkways, Joan Cook of Health by Design, Sandy Cummings of the Marion County Health Department, and Brad Bobian with the City's Department of Metropolitan Development. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here. So I'm going to start, Joan, with you. Tell us a little bit about Walkways, what Walkways is and how it came to be.
Okay. Well, Walkways, as you said, is an initiative to make Indianapolis more walkable and to get more people walking. It is a collaboration with the City of Indianapolis, the Marion County Public Health Department, and our organization, Health by Design, and our many partners. And we're working to develop the community's first pedestrian plan with a long-term vision for a more walkable and healthy Indianapolis. And that started as a grant opportunity about 18 months ago or so with the American Planning Association. There were some funds available to bridge the gap between planning and public health. And this was our opportunity to all collaborate together and work on pedestrian issues here in Indianapolis.
And I know that there are plans for public input and all of that, and we'll get to that in a bit. But I want to sort of set the stage by talking a bit about why walking and walkability are so important. And I'm going to throw that one to Sandy. What is it? We'll start, obviously, to speak to the health benefits of walking and what makes something walkable.
Okay. Well, walkable. Let me just take those as two separate things. So I would offer as a definition sort of a common understanding of walkability as the presence of three specific components. The first is physical access. Is there physically a path, a sidewalk? Is there a protected space for people to go from one point to another? If you're at the coffee shop on one side of the street and you want to go to the pharmacy on the other side of the street, do you feel safe in trying to walk your way over there? Walkable communities have plenty of walking infrastructure, so sidewalks, crosswalks, islands on the larger streets, reasonable speed limits. Secondly, you need places to go. So it's not enough to be able to walk around my neighborhood or my job. It's not very productive, per se, and it's not really all that interesting. What's important for walkability is to have a mix of destinations so folks can fulfill some of their usual errands on a day-to-day basis. And then the third component is proximity. So a rule of thumb is that we need to have places to go within about a half a mile of home or wherever the starting point is. So that means about a 10-minute walk to the place and a 10-minute walk back. So physical access, places, and proximity are three important components of walkability. And so that's what we're talking about when we try to make Indianapolis more walkable. We want to have lots of environments that combine those three important components. So we in public health are obviously very interested in getting people out on their feet and walking more on a sort of day-to-day basis. What I can tell you is that most of us, children and adults alike, don't get enough exercise. The public health system in the U.S. has been surveying public activity patterns for over two decades now. We've seen very little increase, even though really virtually every system in the body is working more efficiently or otherwise benefits from getting exercise. Most of us will tell you that we just don't get enough exercise, but we still don't seem to make it happen. Sometimes, in fact, most of the time, people will cite that they just don't have enough time to set aside for exercise. Some folks will say they don't have the money to exercise with the assumption that you have to join a gym or a fitness center or some of the really excellent, you know, classes and so forth that we have going on in Indianapolis. So this pedestrian plan is really taking a stealth approach to public health. It's taking a stealth approach to making our city more walkable. So we want to provide infrastructure and walkability so that utilitarian physical activity is possible without people really even giving it much thought. So that is walking for transportation and not just because I want to go get some exercise. For example, I may say tonight, well, I'm really not going to have 30 minutes to exercise this evening when I get home from work, but I do know I need to get to the library and return my library books. Well, the library is 3/4 of a mile from my house. So if I walk to the library, return my books, walk back home, I will have gotten my errand done, and I'm going to get done one way or the other tonight because I'm not going to pay the fine. But I will have met the Surgeon General's recommendation for 30 minutes of physical activity today, just sort of by accident without even thinking about it. So that's what I mean about the stealth approach. When we make our communities more walkable, it's just easier to do the things that we're going to do anyway, but to do them on foot instead of hopping in the car.
Brad, there is a economic development component to this, too.
Certainly.
Could you talk a little bit about why walkability is so important to the development of really rising communities now, the cities that are exploding?
Yeah, so I think there's really two pieces to that. One is a challenge that we have in our city with economic mobility, so getting people to move up the economic ladder. A lot of families needing to get to work may not have access to a car or at least a reliable car, and so they rely on transit. So as we as a region begin to talk about expanding, reinvesting in our transit system, it's important to remember that every transit trip begins and ends as a pedestrian. And so as our transit system expands to connect more jobs regionally, we want to make sure that our residents of Marion County of Indianapolis can access those jobs regionally and help with our economic mobility challenge. So on the other end, there's the notion that younger generations, specifically millennial generations, are preferring walkable communities. That is their demographic preference. They prefer to live in places that not only have the infrastructure to walk, as Sandy mentioned, but also have the places to walk, so the mixed-use type of neighborhoods. And so if you look at research that the National Association of Realtors has done, as well as our local MIBOR organization of realtors, it is clear that there is a growing preference for walkable types of neighborhoods. That's where people want to live. A lot of Marion County was built at a time when that was not the preference. And so we have this challenge of retrofitting many of our neighborhoods, not only with the infrastructure that we need to put in, with sidewalks and crosswalks and things like that, but also the mix of uses so people have places to walk to.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about walkability here in Indianapolis. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Kenny has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Kenny, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Yeah, I live in the downtown area, not that far from Massachusetts, and I'm astonished over the past 10 years, and particularly the last few years, how open space has been eliminated in favor of what seems to be really overdevelopment. And it seems to me that this has an awful lot to do with walkability. If a city has a commitment to pedestrian, applications, but to pedestrianism, if you will, it doesn't, sacrifice this in favor of development that is sometimes not necessary. And I particularly see this along Massachusetts now, just within the last 2 to 3 years. There was an awful lot of open space there that was very pleasant, effectively park space, for pedestrian enjoyment. And now that's being eliminated. And now, as usual in Indianapolis, we have a special plan for getting, for so-called pedestrian infrastructure. It's all in something, the way I hear it is I might have to drive to get there.
Thanks very much for the call and both the question and the comment, Kenny. We'll see what response we can get for you. And I guess I would take the liberty of reframing his question a little bit and say, it really is, why is this not more organic? How did we get to the point that we're at now where we really have to think about creating pedestrian walkways instead of them always being there? Brad, you kind of alluded to that in the fact that in earlier generations, this wasn't a priority. What was it about Indianapolis and this part of the country in general that sort of eliminated the idea of walking as anything other than something you do inside a mall?
So Indianapolis is really a tale of two cities. You have the urban core that was built at a time when people walked, basically before the automobile. And so walking was a predominantly way you got around town. And so things were a little denser. There was the infrastructure in place. There were the mix of uses so that you didn't have to walk all the way across town to live out your daily life. And so we do have pieces of that in the center of the city. And then you have the township areas, the suburban parts of Indianapolis, Marion County, that were built predominantly post-World War II when the automobile was really the way that we got around our city. And so in those types of neighborhoods, you have much wider streets, much faster speeds. There's not a lot of connectivity. We have major roads that connect neighborhoods, but you don't have a lot of connections between neighborhoods. Because the car didn't really necessitate that. You also have land uses spread out, so you don't have corner coffee shops and corner dry cleaners and things like that to live your daily life because you had the car to get to them. And so we're really a victim of the time frame of which our city was developed. And now we're kind of at a point where we have to go back into many of those places and kind of adapt them, retrofit them to meet some of the preferences that people are looking for when they're searching for neighborhoods now.
Got an email question on a similar theme from a listener named Tony. If you'd like to reach out to us by email, you can find us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Tony says, I've lived in many states, east, west coast, north, south, and I can't recall any of those states not giving the right of way to pedestrians. No, I don't know the laws here, and I've consulted with state police who didn't have a definitive answer. But it appears there is no law that pedestrians have the right of way when approaching or are in a crosswalk. I work in the North Government Building in downtown Indy and witness everyday drivers completely ignoring pedestrians. Bicyclists don't seem to have it much better or any better at working with pedestrians. How much of this do pedestrians have the right of way here? Is that a law? Yeah.
Indiana is a yield state, so when a pedestrian is in a crosswalk, the vehicles are to yield to the pedestrian. So what does that mean? When they're off that side of the roadway where the car is traveling, they can proceed through the intersection. As far as what the laws are, I think we do have laws in place both for pedestrians and drivers. It's a matter of enforcing those laws and making that something that's a priority in Indianapolis.
How much of this also is going to require a kind of cultural shift, though, in that, we don't think of this as a walking city. We, as Brad has pointed out, a lot of our communities evolved when the car was king, and the idea of having cars to get back and forth were in the dominant position. How much are we going to have to kind of re-educate ourselves? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that you have absolutely hit the nail on the head. This is going to take a long time to change the way that we think about, you know, who belongs on the roads and who doesn't belong on the roads. It is a cultural shift. 10, 15 years from now, we'll think, you know, it'll seem perfectly normal to have people walking, you know, walking through neighborhoods onto the major streets. Today, there are many stories that come across my day-to-day experience from people saying, well, you know, I decided to walk to work or I was walking here or there and my neighbor stopped and said, do you need a ride? Or I had a friend walking to work just this week and she said, two people stopped on my way down the street into our office asking if I had car trouble because they just don't expect to see you on the road. So it is a cultural shift and it will take some time.
We are talking about walkability in Indianapolis. My guests are Joan Cook of Walkways, Sandy Cummings of the Health Department, and Brad Bobian of Department of Metropolitan Development. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about the pedestrian plan of Indy Walkways. It's an initiative to make Indianapolis more walkable and get more people walking. My guests are, for Indy Walkways, Joan Cook, who's also of Health by Design, Sandy Cummings of the Marion County Health Department, and Brad Bobian with the city's Department of Metropolitan Development. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at wfyi, or you can do what a listener named Brian has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
So I live in Indianapolis. I'm on Kessler Boulevard West Drive. So I don't believe I fall into that half-mile kind of walkable radius. The speed limit on Kessler is 40 miles per hour. I'm not sure if that falls into, you know, what is considered safe, or would that be more 25 to 30? Obviously, people go a lot faster than 40 on that road. But I would love a path of, at least I could ride my bike into Broad Ripple or down onto Illinois and 56, you know, some restaurants down there. Like, what are the future plans or anything like that? Is that a possibility for a road like this?
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Brian. Who would like that one, Brad?
So part of the process for this pedestrian planning effort is to figure out not only project-specific ideas but also policy changes. And so when it comes to pedestrian infrastructure, there's different types of infrastructure that are appropriate for different types of streets and different types of land uses and speed limits. And so for a street like Kessler, which is a major arterial, I also live in Kessler a little east of there, it is a major street with fast cars. And so for a street like that, you have an infrastructure like an off-street path. And so further down, example of 62nd Street, just east of Keystone, there is a off-street path, which is basically an asphalt trail to the side of the street that's a little separated from the street. So that's different than a sidewalk infrastructure, which is more appropriate for calmer streets like a neighborhood side street or a commercial area. And so there are different pedestrian infrastructure types for different types of locations.
Gotten an email question from a listener named Jenny, and if you'd like to reach out to us by email, you can find us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Jenny's exploring that age-old question in Indianapolis of downtown versus neighborhoods. Says, I'm excited about the plans to bring greater walkability to the city. Most recently, the addition of a pedestrian corridor along Zionsville Road and Pike Township to connect neighborhoods, library, and schools has really helped solve a safety issue, along with giving residents the opportunity to walk to places they were previously driving. Of concern to me is an area a little closer to where I live along High School Road. High School Road has intermittent sidewalks from 56th Street to 46th Street, and we have a large number of pedestrians using that corridor to access Indigo bus lines further south, employment retail areas, and also for dog walking and other exercise. This consistently poses a safety hazard and also inhibits my family from walking to some nearby places we frequently go, as walking in muddy turf or through piled snow is not optimal. The same conditions exist on 46th Street between High School Road and Lafayette Road and Moeller Road retail centers, and to the west, the Indianapolis Parks Eagle Creek Greenway. Can you tell me if there are plans to expand walkability to the township areas, particularly this area, instead of focusing exclusively on the downtown core? Joan? All right. Do you want Joan or do you want Sandy?
Well, how about if we both have a little something to say about that? Okay, I definitely think that the experience is one that so many of us have in Indianapolis. You're really hard-pressed to find walkable communities once you get closer to 465. So just inside of 465 and certainly outside of 465. And that's the area, as Brad was mentioning, that was developed in the 1950s and later. So we know that inside of subdivisions, we are very fortunate in Indianapolis that there's been code for quite a few decades now that require developers to put sidewalks into neighborhoods. So inside of neighborhoods, not all of them, of course, but many of them, there is nice walking infrastructure. Starting in 2009, there was a new ordinance put into place so that developers of new or significantly modified commercial space are now installing sidewalks with their projects. So along some of these arterials, you're starting to see little bits of sidewalk pop up, and those are the dots that will be connected as we go along with this process. So it's going to take time, but Indy Walkways, that this is part of the beauty of what's going on right now with all of this planning and public input. And Joan, do you want to talk about the input sessions that you're planning?
Yeah, we should talk about that there are going to be places for people to ask questions just like this. Could you talk about the schedule of public meetings?
Sure. The public meetings are going to start tomorrow. They're going to start on the east side of town. The first one is at the Community Alliance of the Far East Side in the 8900 block of East 38th Street from 6 to 8. We also have one on the north side at the American Diabetes Association at 8604 Allisonville Road. This is behind the Girt Furniture, in case anybody is going to be attending that one. Also downtown at the platform on Friday. That one's from 11:30 to 1:30 p.m. and the platform is located right next to the city market adjacent to it. On the south side at the Chin Community Center at 2524 East Stop 11 Road. That is on Saturday, February 27th from 10 to 2. And then finally, also on Saturday, on the west side of town at the Eagle Library at 3325 Lowry Road from 2 to 4. We strategically went to four sides of the city. I know a lot of times when we have public events, they tend to just be downtown, and we pick locations where we could get input from a diverse section of our population and also in locations that aren't considered walkable. And definitely, if you want more information about that, you can go to www.indywalkways.org to, again, get that schedule.
Go ahead and give that to them again, because people, much as I wish they would sit there with pencils in hand listening to every word we say, could you give it to them again, please?
Of course. www.indywalkways.org.
I'm going to ask, how large a project is this? I mean, we've already heard that, and I'm going to ask for a price tag on it, too, ultimately. Do we have estimates? Because it sounds like there are plans in place to involve the entire metropolitan area and to try to make it more walkable. Yeah, I can see you all pointing to each other. One of you does, in fact, have to answer here. So I go with you, Brad, first, since you're the development guy, metropolitan development guy.
So obviously retrofitting neighborhoods, we have a challenge in the city already just keeping up with what we have. As you drive, especially after the winter season and the potholes, you understand that. So the idea of not only maintaining what we have but adding new where we're missing comes with a price tag. We don't have that price tag yet. Part of this planning process is to figure out where that is. Part of this process is also attempting to prioritize the limited amount of dollars that we have. And so we know that we can't do everything everywhere. And so what are the lenses that we will use going forward to evaluate where that those limited dollars should be spent. And so that's part of this planning effort. That's part of the public outreach, the public meetings that Joan mentioned. We want to make sure that we hear from you. The website is a good way to get in touch with us to provide some of that feedback. The planning effort itself is actually funded by a grant originally from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, funneled through the American Planning Association, which is the professional association for city planners. So that's who is actually paying for this study.
How large was that grant?
The grant, I believe, is about $100,000.
Yeah, okay. It is just about $100,000. And if I could add just a couple comments about the background.
Sure.
The reason I think that we were able to win this award is because there's been great momentum going on in Indianapolis over the last several years related to walking infrastructure. It's hard to see it because plans take time, and as Brad was saying, the price tag is enormous for putting sidewalks in. But back in 2012, Health by Design, the City of Indianapolis staff, and many other just really dedicated stakeholders worked together on the development of a complete streets policy for Indianapolis. And that requires that every transportation project that comes up for funding be assessed for whether walkers, bikers, and transit users should have accommodations built into that project. So that doesn't mean every project gets accommodations, but it's assessed and determined what kind of accommodation and how the project gets built.
If I could jump in, what are the criteria for making those assessments? I mean, making the decision, how are you going to decide, what criteria are you going to apply to make a decision about where someone gets a sidewalk as opposed to a path or even nothing?
Yeah, boy, those are big questions, and that is part of the process that's going on today. And actually, that goes on. That's standard operating procedure that the city looks at today. But in this plan that's being developed through this grant that Brad has talked about, there are multiple layers of decision making, and one of the things that is new to this process is looking at and trying to define better those priority areas in the city where there is a high proportion of a health burden, that there are equity issues that we want to assure that we're attending to, and a variety of different things. So, for example, with health, for the first time ever, we will be including a description of where we have higher populations that are overweight or obese, of people diagnosed with diabetes. We'll be looking at the percent of people within a 10-minute walk of grocery stores, 10-minute walk of a park or a green space, and we'll be looking at the density of collisions involving pedestrians. So, setting priorities is really what this is all about. There are, millions and millions and millions of dollars of need and not millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. So we have to prioritize better so that we're being more, efficient with the dollars that we have.
We are talking about Indy Walkways. It's an initiative to promote walkability and walking in Indianapolis. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Mitch, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. What's on your mind?
Well, I live on the Near East Side of town, right next to Washington Street. And the area that I live in between Rural Street and LaSalle. I see a lot of people walking, trying to walk along Washington Street, but it's really not a very walkable area. Even though we have sidewalks, traffic just flies through there, and it's very hard to cross the street unless you're walking like a quarter of a mile between one of those stoplights. There's a retirement community that's actually being built, and it's planned to be finished before the end of the year. That's right in that corridor, and just thinking of the future residents of that place as well as neighbors of mine currently, I would love to just see traffic in that corridor slow down, similar maybe to some of the construction that's been done in the Irvington neighborhood, just to kind of make it more walkable, get cars slowing down, and make it a more pedestrian-friendly area.
Thanks very much for the call and the question and the comments, Mitch.
You're very welcome.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
Joe.
Mitch, you brought up some very good points, because for an area to be walkable, Just like you said, people need to feel safe. They need to have marked crosswalks at locations to cross the street, need to have pedestrian lighting, and it needs to feel comfortable, and it needs to feel safe. And not only are we doing a pedestrian plan for Indianapolis, but we're also talking about an overall pedestrian program. And some of the things we're talking about and considering are just policies around when to put in a marked crosswalk. How do you maintain that crosswalk, that marked crosswalk? Issues dealing with snow removal and when the plow comes through, where does that snow get piled? And keeping curb ramps open, that kind of thing. So not only is this a pedestrian plan, but it's also an overall program for the city of Indianapolis.
How much of this is also, I mean, we have a lot of places, we've had a couple of listeners point this out, that there are places where they're in theory technically walkable and that there are sidewalks and all of that, but either the sidewalks have not been well maintained or the traffic creates real burdens. Street, you know, the stoplights aren't, or stop signs aren't necessarily lined up to promote walkability. Even in those areas that that are technically walkable, how many problems do we have right now, Brad?
Well, I guess I'll go back to Sandy's comment. There's multiple aspects of walkability. Is the infrastructure in place?
Mm-hmm.
Is the sidewalk there? Echo what Joan says. You know, when it rains, can you use it without getting showered? When it snows, can you actually use it, or is there a snowbank in the way? But then there's also are there places to walk to? And so the example from Mitch about on the east side, you know, that apartment community is part of an effort called Great Places 2020, which is an mm-hmm. effort to kind of add some more mixed use kind of village heart to that sort of neighborhood. So the idea is that soon you'll be able to walk to, there's an existing public library there, but soon you'll be able to walk to some other retail sort of establishments so that you will have a much higher quality of walking environment.
Gotten an email from a listener named Juan. If you'd like to reach out to us by email, you can find us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Juan says, isn't the 16 Tech Project a good long-term way to improve walkability based on their plans to connect communities around the technology park? We'll go with Brad on that one since everyone's pointing at you.
So certainly. I mean, 16 Tech is one of the biggest geographic and kind of economic expansions of downtown in generations. And so it's a huge opportunity to get it right. And there's a large group of greenways that converge in the area. You have the White River Greenway, the Fall Creek Greenway that come together. And then the Cultural Trail is not that far away. And so linking all of those amenities together links our regional transportation system. And then actually once you get in the network, we are building that 16 Tech community as a complete community. There will be people who work there, people who live there. There will be retail there. It will be a complete community that will be walkable. So that is a huge opportunity to demonstrate what the future can look like.
Let me ask this because we've gotten a question, email question from a listener named Brian. Says he would love to see a path along Kessler Boulevard West Drive. I think that would be more beneficial than a sidewalk. Do I need to attend a meeting to show my support for this initiative? What else can I do? That some of it is attend the public meetings, go through that. Who's going to be the decision-making authority here? Because it does sound like not everyone's path, sidewalk, or plan can be adopted here. How do we decide who gets the sidewalks, who gets the stoplights, who gets the paths? Either one of you, Brad or Joan.
I can start, and Brad can certainly jump in. But, yes, come and talk about at the public events what's important to you, but also take a look at the draft plan and the elements that we put into the plan to decide priority areas. We've looked at things like destinations, as we've talked about, health, equity, transit use, those kinds of things. So we'll have maps available to take a look on how we got to this consolidated map of what we consider to be high priority areas for investment.
We are talking about walkability and Indy Walks, a plan to promote walkability and walking here in Indianapolis. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or reach out to us via social media. My guests are, for Walkways, Joan Cook, Sandy Cummings of the Health Department, and Brad Bobian of the Department of Metropolitan Health. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about walking, about a pedestrian plan to promote walking and walkability in Indianapolis called Indy Walkways. My guests are Joan Cook, who's with both Indy Walkways and of Health by Design, Sandy Cummings of the Marion County Public Health Department, and Brad Bobian, who is with Indianapolis's Department of Metropolitan Development. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at wfyi, or you can do what a listener named Mitty has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Mitty, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. What's on your mind?
I'm suggesting that Indy Parks or Indy Walkways consider adding sidewalk poetry when sidewalks are put down. There's a lot of information about how it's done, how it was done in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's also been done in various other cities far south in Key West, in Cambridge, Massachusetts, as well as several other cities. It's a way to get local residents involved in walkability. The city of St. Paul also has a map so that citizens and tourists can follow the map and see the different poetry that's been created by their own local people. The sidewalk poetry is created in forms that are then pressed in new cement and can be used again and again.
Well, thank you very much for the call and the suggestion, Mitty. We'll see if we can get a response for you.
Okay.
Sounds almost like an extension of the cultural trail in some ways, the idea behind the cultural trail. Joan.
Mitty, I appreciate your input. The Walkways actually has three components. And as I talked about, one was the pedestrian program. The other is the actual pedestrian plan, and third is a walking campaign. And we have had a group of partners meeting on a regular basis to talk about just the kinds of things that you mentioned, the poetry and other things such as sidewalk enhancements through chalk. We've heard about the sidewalk poetry. We've heard about the stamping. Wayfinding, all different kinds of ways to engage the public in walking. This is just in its infancy, and we hope to really create a walking campaign with those kinds of suggestions and use indywalkways.org to promote that, and would welcome suggestions just like that on the website.
We've gotten a tweet from a listener named John. You can find us on Twitter at WFYI. He says, neglect infrastructure, people get down and or move out, crime moves in, costs multiply. And I'm assuming looking at this that he's raising a question of whether Indy Parks and Recreation is a partner in this and whether there are other corporate partners who are attempting to promote this initiative. Everybody's looking over in your direction, Sandy. You made the mistake of looking down, so I guess
yes.
they chose you.
Yeah, it's I would say the partnerships have been really tremendous so far. Health by Design is a coalition of over 100 or so organizations that come together and share ideas, share resources, share commitment and vision towards this, the kind of work that we're doing here. And while this is, you know, this is a really big push, Indy Walkways is a, you know, sort of a contained campaign that has significant dollars assigned to it and effort, but it's the natural outgrowth of several years of work that's been going on. And so, especially in the nonprofit organizations and the city departments, and not even just Indianapolis, but central Indiana and really throughout the state, there is huge momentum, lots and lots of individual stakeholders and organizations that are really working to see that we have more walkable communities overall in the state.
Yes, Brad.
And in regards to Indy Parks in particular, I think it's important to note that we actually have a fantastic greenways plan that was recently completed a couple years ago, the Indy Greenways 360 plan that really connects all of the neighborhoods in Marion County into the greenways network. The challenge always comes down to how we pay for the infrastructure. Greenways come down to about $1 million a mile is the cost for a greenway. That's assuming we have the land. So that's the construction and the engineering and all of those costs. So this stuff is not cheap. It's coming down to how do we prioritize our limited investments.
We've gotten an email from a listener named Bob. If you'd like to reach out to us by email, you can find us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Bob says, will there be additional police allocated to support additional trails and walkways? Pedestrians and bicyclists on walkways have been easy targets for criminals, especially on sections of the Monon Trail. Who wants that one? Sandy.
Well, you know, these are great questions. They're hard questions.
We have a smart
audience.
These
are hard issues.
It's a good
yes.
thing.
Well, I have always known that. Absolutely. And obviously, the three of us sitting here couldn't tell you about who, you know, how the police are going to be allocated per se in the future. But I do know that the more people that are out on the streets, the more people that are on the trails, the more people that are have their eyes out in the community, the safer the community is. And so when you're walking alone down the street, if you just consider that for a moment, it doesn't really feel all that safe or good. You start to sort of be suspect of who might be behind you, who's over in the bushes, when it's dark in particular. So the more people that are on the streets, the safer you're going to feel. So really, we recognize that, you know, there has to be a police presence. And in fact, the police department has always been a partner in all of our work, certainly in the walk audits, the walk assessments that have been done. The police have been at every meeting and at so many of the on-the-street functions that we've done. So they're absolutely a partner, but we also know that we really just need people to be out on the street, and that helps to build a sense of safety in your communities.
We're talking about walking and walkability here in Indianapolis. If you want to join the conversation, please do what Paige has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Paige, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I live just south of County Line Road in Greenwood, and I have two visually impaired adult sons that can't drive. So hearing this, this is just really exciting for our family. Living where we are, there's, you know, virtually no biking trails. People do not cross State Road 135 because, you know, you're taking your life in your own hands. So I really like to see what, you know, what's happening here with Indianapolis, and really commend the people that are looking into such a thing. So I guess my other question is, and you may have already covered this somewhat, was how far outside of downtown is your plan going to be reaching?
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Paige. And I'll push it, I'll sharpen it for you a little bit. Is it going to extend beyond Marion County, which is where you are?
So,
Brad.
So this plan, first of all, Paige, I'd love to have you move up into Marion County so you can benefit from this plan. But this plan is for Indianapolis and Marion County. I will say that there is a regional organization known as the Metropolitan Planning Organization. That's the organization that distributes the federal transportation funding to all of the region, including Marion County. And they also have had in the past and in the future will have pedestrian and bicycle sort of planning efforts. It ultimately, though, comes down to the local jurisdiction. And so in your case, Paige, the city of Greenwood comes down to implementing.
I've gotten an email question from a listener named Sylvia. She says, I live near 56th and Lafayette Road. There's a coffee shop and other retail about a block away, but I drive to it. That's because there are five lanes of traffic pouring into the 56th and Lafayette intersection from four directions. The traffic light does not allow enough time for an able-bodied person to cross the intersection without jogging across before the lights change. I contacted the city and was told it was too expensive to change the timing of the lights. This seems like it would be an easy fix for a pedestrian accessibility issue that could be done now. That intersection is also an important connector for the neighborhoods to Eagle Creek Park and the Eagle Creek Greenway. Are there going to be places where cost is just going to prohibit us from dealing with a question of walkability? Brad, they're looking back at you now.
Well, yes, and I think, as I mentioned before, we will never be able to retrofit our entire county to be completely pedestrian-oriented, and so this prioritization exercise is helping us. There may be low-hanging fruits where maybe it is just a signal timing effort, maybe it is just painting a crosswalk, and that's all that's needed. It may also be the case that we've designed that intersection to be, as I mean, everything in our community, it functions the way it has been designed. And so it was designed inappropriately back in the day, and now we're facing an effort where that intersection is designed to accommodate that traffic. And so how do we minimize that traffic? That's a broader network issue than just looking at that specific intersection. So it's really a case-by-case effort, effort. It might be as simple as timing. It might be much more complex than that.
We are talking about walkability in Indianapolis. Steve, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the time to be on the call. I wanted to say two things. One was to compliment the city on the recent extension of the Penzi Trail through Irvington. It connects the Penzi Trail to the Pleasant Run Trail, and as someone who lives near there, I've seen a increased use of foot traffic by people of all walks of life, mothers pushing strollers with kids, people walking dogs, bikers, runners. And it's clearly been a boon to the local community. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit more about how there is coordination between pathways or greenways like that and the sustainability of improving walking in the city as a whole. These are not necessarily sidewalks, they're paths, but yet they promote the same purpose, and how your particular program is seeking to sort of synthesize those two efforts, because it seems like Indianapolis Greenways has their own website. They are their own sort of organization, if you will, and yet you've got your grant and what you're doing to plan to make the city more walkable. Mm-hmm.
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Steve. Joan.
Thanks, Steve. Yes, we are looking at all, as part of this plan, at all the planning efforts that have gone on in Indianapolis in the recent years. There are many. And taking a look at what elements of those plans have portions dealing with walkability and connectivity and active living, and trying to incorporate that and how it fits into the overall pedestrian plan for the city.
Gotten a question by email from a listener named Jeffrey. He says, "Hi, Kessler Boulevard East Drive was mentioned, and I happen to live on this stretch. I'm all for creating a path through, but are property owners compensated for the land loss?"
They are compensated for the land loss if it is their land. And so if it's in an existing public right-of-way, which in many cases many people view that as part of their yard because they mow it. But if it is public right-of-way, obviously the public already owns it. If it is private property and the city were to come in and put in any type of infrastructure, whether it be a sidewalk or a street, there is a process by which the property owners are compensated at market value.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about walking and walkability here in Indianapolis. Diane, welcome to the program.
Hi. I haven't been able to hear every single minute of the program, but would you like some input from those of us who are concerned about this? Because there may be specific roads where we've seen a number of near misses, especially like at night or maybe when the kids are out of school, or people who are new to the community who are walking to the grocery store, and they walk out in the street because there's no place else for them to go. And maybe they haven't been hit by a car, but it's only luck because they haven't been hit. And how can we give you some input into that?
Joan, I think they're queuing you up on the public meetings again and the way to do feedback. Thank you very much for the call, Diane.
these public meetings will be an excellent way to give us some of that feedback. Also, Health by Design is also working a project around safety and actually taking police and EMS data and analyzing that. And we know where the concentration of crashes are happening in Indianapolis and doing some outreach around those areas. But certainly, you know, things like walking to school and walking to the park are all important. And if you have obstacles to doing that, we certainly want to know what those obstacles are, because we can't profess to know the city ourselves, and we need the public's help in identifying what those obstacles are.
What is the timetable for arriving at sort of a definitive plan here? I mean, we've talked about the public input. We probably ought to talk about when the decisions are going to get made and all of that. And what is that process? Mm-hmm. Who the decision makers would be, Brad?
So our schedule has the plan wrapping up spring, so April timeframe. We plan on having it adopted by the city's Metropolitan Development Commission, which is the planning authority for Indianapolis and all of Marion County. As far as actually decisions of what gets built and spending, Joan kind of alluded, we are adding this. The purpose of this project is really to add a data-driven approach to it. But at the end of the day, it's allocation of public resources. And so it will come down to political decision makers. The council right now has a say in how our investments are made, and they will continue to have a say, as will the mayor, as will the public via input through to their counselor, to the mayor's action center, to the mayor, to the mayor's neighborhood liaisons, things like that. We are hoping to add a data-driven process to that so we make better informed decisions. But the same people who have been making the decisions now, the political elected officials, the Department of Public Works officials, the Department of Metropolitan Development officials, will still be there. Hopefully they'll just have a broader data set to draw from.
And from the point of decision being made, the plan being adopted, how long until it's put into place? I mean, what do we anticipate until people can actually start walking on some of these new paths, Brad?
So that will come down to our annual funding cycles through the Department of Public Works. It's important to note that the Rebuild Indy dollars, a lot of that you saw in resurfacing, but we extended miles of trails. The Pinzi that was mentioned in Irvington was one of those. The Fall Creek Trail was also extended. We also built lots of new sidewalks. And so you are already seeing investments in pedestrian infrastructure. And annually, as we re-up our investment into pedestrian infrastructure, you'll see pieces being built.
And Joan, could you give the URL again real quickly? If people want to give feedback or find out more about these public meetings, where should they go?
www.indywalkways.org.
Well, I would like to thank all three of you for what has been a fascinating conversation. I'd like to thank my guests, Joan Cook of Walkways and Health by Design, Sandy Cummings of the Marion County Health Department, and Brad Bobian of the City's Department of Metropolitan Development. Also like to thank all of our listeners. Sent in many, many great questions. Sorry we can't get to them all, but we are going to talk about this again because clearly people are interested in it. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.